Welcome to TLDL with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we discuss this year's greatest gaming release. Get ready for it.
Yes.
Satisfactory 1.0. It's happening, Tony. It's happening. Noble updates. They're doing it. They've merged the branches. It's going closed beta maybe this year. I signed up for it. I don't know if I'll play it or not. We'll have to see. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah. It's happening, Tony. It's happening.
How excited?
Very. Kind of. I'm kind of not looking forward to playing it again. So, I mean, I have not like when it comes out, but like this is going to be a busy year. So I don't know that I need.
Satisfactory.
Maybe I'd help myself. I want to see how they've got it. I think if I get into the closed beta, I probably won't participate just to save myself 1.0. I kind of got excited. Went, oh, must sign up.
And no, like,
Maybe I don't need that. Maybe I can just save it, you know, for 1.0,
so it's actually released.
Oh, I think so. Anyway, that's
game of the year.
That's getting on me. Well, actually, it released, so there's a chance.
Yeah.
I don't. It's kind of as much chance of being game of the year as like Street Fighter.
Okay.
Highly passionate audience.
Yeah.
Very small audience. I think. Anyway, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Aside from that, there's nothing else going on that front. We did play some more Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes.
And I played some more Starfield.
Yes.
And I've continued playing some Valheim, and I have some observations.
Should
we start with Baldur's Gate 3?
Let's start with Baldur's Gate 3.
Another excellent session where we finally got a magic weapon that wasn't a weapon for my character.
Yes.
It's like, what is going on here? Oh my god.
And it's easily the best weapon we found.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the highest tier weapon we've found.
Yeah. It's actually worth using. It's actually worth ditching what you're currently using to use.
Well, I've got like a new sword every single playthrough so far. Yes. That's been better than the last one that I have had. But
I'm still using my useless stuff
that you don't care about. Yeah. But yeah, so it was the Mace of Lathander?
The Blood of Lathander.
Yeah, Blood of Lathander.
So it's a mace that's got an amber gem in it that is said to house the actual blood of the Dawn God.
Wow, it's got some pretty sick spells attached to it like that.
Sunbeam, level 6 spell, Sunbeam once per day.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Has an aura that affects your whole party.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Everyone does plus 1d4 damage and is under the effect of a blessed spell.
Yes,
it's
right.
It's a pretty kick-ass weapon.
Yeah. It's one of those weapons where you think, like, oh, this is actually, yeah, this is, because, like, to unlock it, we have to go and solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then
you will die.
You will die. Yeah, good trap. Except for that. I don't know if there's any way around that to sort of.
There probably is if we'd gone and done the astral plane first, but because we tried to do it. So the Gift Yankee Queen opens the doorway to the astral plane. So if we'd gone to the astral plane and come back out again, I think we could have crashed the monastery and it wouldn't have cared. But because we had to go through the astral plane to progress the story. When we crushed the monastery without having gone through the portal, it said game over, game over, now couldn't get back to the portal.
Couldn't get back. That's right, because I saw about half a second of my character looking back at the monastery blowing up.
Yes.
Before it said game over.
So clearly we all got out.
We all escaped, but we couldn't because it's too hard to go through the plane.
Because you had to go through that.
Anyway, we got the portal and we got it the quote-unquote proper way.
Yes.
Proved ourselves.
Yes, except I exploded the drunk kobold, which was quite amusing.
Oh, you came in.
I didn't realise that they were going to explode, because I couldn't work out how to get to where you guys were. Yeah. So I cast Featherfall on myself and then jumped off the ledge.
Is that how you got down there?
So I came down to the back end of the fight and didn't realise that they were all drunk and were going to explode if I said, I'm on fire. So, of course, the first thing I did was shoot a fireball at the one that was going to attack me.
And boom. Classic Divinity fire sequence of everything exploding.
But then I don't know if you noticed, but I fired ice bolts near you.
Oh,
so the fire would all go out, so you could run to the next kobold.
No, I didn't notice, but thank you.
Yeah, because the ice bolts would freeze the ground, but then the fire would immediately melt and turn into water, and the water would put out the fire.
Ah, and then it's boom.
Yeah.
Nice. That's clever. Do you like those environmental?
It worked better in Divinity because you weren't limited by spells.
Yes.
Like, you didn't have a certain number of spells per day, so you could use Andromeda really well in Divinity, but with the D&D, you get nowhere near enough spells per day to really make use of that.
No. I think that's probably one thing that I'm still a bit meh on. You have a lot of cool abilities, but so many of them are just like, for me,
once only.
Yeah, so a lot of what I'm doing is just wake up and hitting attack.
Well, I think this is my biggest complaint with this game is if you are playing this as a tabletop role-playing game with real people, no one would go back to play with that Dungeon Master ever again.
Yeah.
Because the Dungeon Master is just a dick, basically. Yeah. There's no. So they wrote the game based on the way they did the Divinity engine, which is you get action points, but you can use your action points on whatever you want.
Yeah.
So you unlock your powers and you can use your action points on whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whereas D&D says, no, you've got three spells you can cast until your next long rest. That's it. Once you've cast those three spells, you can't cast anything else anymore.
Yeah.
So really, they're encouraging you to do a fight, rest. Because...
But as we know, you can't do that.
No, because then you're fixing the story. I continue to be massively frustrated by the fact that they didn't change their design ethos based on the new rules that they're dealing with.
Yeah, yep. I think that's a fair call. I think Josh is a bit happier now too that he realised he can respec his character at Withers.
But that's only because he found the dexterity magic item.
Yeah, I think he'd be a little unhappy about what he picked.
He's very unhappy.
Yeah, so he wanted to get a chance to.
But when he does sneak attack successfully, he does immense damage.
Yeah.
The good sneaking seems to be a bit broken.
I think just like it's like anything. It's like all these games always say you should have a respec option because you don't know sort of need to like learn and you want to go back and fix it. I'm happy with the. I love the. It's interesting. Like I complain about like not having a lot of abilities and I don't, but then when I do have like two Misty Steps, which are invaluable. I can really move myself around the battlefield.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's only like a one time only thing. It is nice to have like
it's
like
amazing.
Cool. Like what is it? Like it's sort of it's really great when you have this theme that you're like, this is just a perfect situational thing and it just sort of works in it. Like the Misty Step one example, and there's other ones that I've had, you know, like having Magic Missile. I got two Magic Missile casts that I can do.
Yeah,
because I've got some spell slots. I think one goes up that, and then I got an item that has it as well. And so when I am out of range, I can just throw off the magic missiles and just like do a bit of damage, maybe ping someone off or something like that, you know. Featherfall, I've tried to use the reaction thing on people, but I haven't had much luck.
The tadpole charm
is annoying.
Yes, that's very annoying.
Like doesn't work most of the time.
We must have done it 20 times and it worked once.
I think so. Yeah. It's like it just becomes annoying.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything else.
You can turn it off.
I suppose, yeah. And you didn't use it at all. And it's sort of like, well, that's
important. The point.
You know, Tabor Charm, I've got an ability where I can tell someone else they use their reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't had much luck getting that to go off. Like, I haven't had the spare action.
Right.
To go, I can't, you know, because my character's sticking with the pointy end.
Yeah.
So I try to stick with that because I do a lot of damage. If I can close up and I can get close and get a few hits or kill someone, so that's kind of like my priority.
Purpose.
Didn't have like some last PlayStation, didn't really have a lot of chance to use that to see if it works or not. But I love being able to jump around heaps high and jump over things.
Yeah,
things
it's a very good combination. You know? Yankee and fighter.
Yeah. But again, like when the fights come, it's sort of like, oh, well, okay, I use my one ability, critically missed. That's a long rest now.
Yeah.
I'm just down to like, you know. And like the other abilities, I've got like cleave, which does a bleed. It's like once per fight. And it's like, oh, I can use it on one guy. I've got six guys here to fight. I can use it on one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, they don't stay alive long enough for the bleed to really make much of a difference.
Yeah, those damage like, over time. And unless you can do it to the entire group of enemies, bleed effects are an utter waste of time. Because you don't want to leave him alive with 3 hit points, so a bleed to death, because he gets to do maximum damage to you when he gets his spare.
Well, that's true. And if it was something that I could use regularly,
every attack,
I would make one of those a bleed to try to get it off and then go for attack, you know, and then next turn I could use that again, because that would be more like what I would do in Divinity, you know, is use one of the abilities first and then just follow up with the basic attack afterwards.
Yeah.
Get you a lot of ability, because maybe it's a prone attack this time, maybe it's a this guy's a bit tougher than me, if there's a bleed, because those couple of ticks are worthwhile. But because they're so rare, I don't use them in case I have a better time to use them. Then I don't use them at all. And then I go, well, I'm just hitting attack, attack, attack every time, unless I have this opportunity. Because the Misty Steps as well are only like once per long rest or something like that. It's weird. It's a bit weird. It is super satisfying when it all comes off and you've got like these gloves of whatever it is and it's giving you a thing. And that's kind of a cool D&D thing to like get
a combination
of things and a bit of random spells that people have that you don't
wouldn't otherwise see.
Because they've just like got this thing, so they have this thing, so they can bring that to the fight. That's really cool. You don't seem to use it enough.
No.
Like it's sort of
Well, I've got a Misty Step bracelet. Misty Step necklace.
Yes.
And I realised that I've used that almost every single fight we've got into because they always attack the spellcaster.
Yeah, and you can just...
So I took it off. You put on a necklace that increased my damage of all my cantrip spells by my proficiency bonus. So that would mean I'd be doing +6 damage on all of my cantrips, because I cast all the time, I was casting Firebolt. And I thought, wow, that's great, that's a whole lot of damage. So I took off the Misty Step necklace, put that on, but then immediately regretted it.
Yeah.
Because they ran up to attack me and now I couldn't get away anymore. Yeah. So there was no point in doing the extra 6 damage because it's a ranged attack. They're standing in my face, I get disadvantaged when I attack them. So I put my Misty Step necklace back on. So I have 3 necklaces that I want to wear.
Yeah, right.
I don't care about my gloves, don't care about my boots, don't care about my staff.
Yeah.
I barely care about my armor.
Yeah.
The cloak is good because it turns invisible when I kill someone, so that's quite good.
Oh, yeah,
that's handy. I don't care about my headband, but I got 3 necklaces that I want to wear.
Yeah. See, I had a pair of gloves that were really cool that were like, let me catch arrows.
Oh, yes.
And so being attacked, like as the person at the front, the start, was great, but the stats just ran out and that effect goes away. It comes back, it's the same thing we keep hopping on, like going back is like, give us another way to get this cool stuff that we want, you know, like just having it as like just random loot, just kind of like,
yeah.
I think I'd have more fun if I had some more ability to get some cool stuff.
Yeah, for every 9 pieces of random loot you get 1 fixed piece of loot.
Yeah.
That they know. They put good bits of loot all the way through
the blood of Lathane.
Which the blood of Lathane clearly is. Yeah,
it's a fixed piece of loot. As long as you investigate a little bit, you'll find that and you can take that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's,
And we found that necklace, the sentient necklace that makes you laugh if you don't pass your saving throw. That seemed like it should be such a great item. I've just got it in my pocket because I don't care about it.
Yeah,
I'm just wanting to take it back.
Necklace.
Oh, yeah, again, it's another necklace. Yeah, there'll be the fourth necklace. But, I'm not a monk. It's a necklace designed for a monk, admittedly.
Right.
It does have 3 powers or 4 powers on it or something, so it's not rubbish.
Yeah.
But, it's this quest-related item with this story behind it.
Yeah.
But I don't care about it. I don't care about the guy that's trapped inside it.
Yeah, because you don't get to have a dialogue conversation and stuff. Yeah. It's actually really interesting. It made me realize how much I'm missing out on when someone hadn't joined the game yet. So one of the characters was just in NPC
mode. Oh, yes. Yeah,
and there was banter and dialogue happening. I'm like, where have I been not listening the whole time? It's
because when they're human controlled, there's no banter.
That's really weird, I feel. Like, I feel like there's no reason why they can't banter.
Yeah.
And discuss the environment they're in.
Human control. Yeah.
That was odd.
It was very odd. It was disappointing.
Yeah.
We found out that does happen.
Yeah.
But we're completely missing it.
Yeah, all of that. And it was my character that was talking.
Your character and Dino's character.
Yeah.
To each other. Yeah.
And so mine would play a character. Mine would play a character. Just the other one wasn't. So like...
But your character was responding to Dino's character talking.
Oh, was that?
Yeah. He's character initiated the conversation.
And then, okay.
Yeah.
You could even like pop up with like, hey, do you want to say this flavor text?
Yeah.
So and you hit the button, like you may have a couple of choices about the flavor text to sort of like have a bit of like role-playing kind of conversation going on might have even been.
Yeah.
But again, it's a single-player game that they just kind of added the multiplayer on.
And the multiplayer works reasonably well.
Yeah, like we join each other's games and say it's working and stuff. I don't think there's anything, wrong about it. It works well enough. I like the fact that it's very permissive in that you can just grab stuff out of people's inventories and just deal with it, or you can lock it if you feel that's necessary as well. I feel that's a really good mix and stuff like that. It's just kind of this story stuff I guess we kind of missed out on. I don't see why, to be honest, we couldn't have brought companions with us as like just followers only. Like, they don't fight or anything, but they just follow along and
talk
and participate and stuff, might mean. But I guess it's a lot of work to go to add that. I thought the flavor text, though, I'll stand by that flavor speech could have definitely been a game. Would have added a lot to the experience.
Yeah, it would have.
Yeah. Because they kind of like, they know things
are bland when you're exploring, it's just bland. But
yeah,
if your party's bantering, then it's less bland.
Exactly. So we went in there. We didn't make the queen too angry at us.
No.
We took a step back before she just powered wished us to death.
I'm not sure that I heard you correctly. Did you just say
no?
I don't know what I said to her. I said, like, why can't you're a god? Why can't you kill yourself? I think you want to say it.
Yeah.
Did you just back chat me? No. That's not what I said. You didn't see that.
So we got, and then so we did the blood left hander.
Yeah, the astral plane.
I went to astral plane, had a conversation with the
person that saved us, whoever they are.
What's your bet, right? Which trope is it? Is it going to be the Githyanki you were right all along?
Yeah.
Or is this going to be the Githyanki you don't know what they're talking about? There's actually something. Like the key to saving everything is already in the device.
In the device, yeah.
Okay, and the reason they're
going to be right all along.
But you think he's the right all along? Yeah.
And they're actually the bad guy. But they need you for some reason. They need you to finish the final plan.
Yeah.
Which is why they're keeping you alive.
Yeah. It makes more sense based on the tadpoles not behaving
the way they should be.
Kind of thing. Yeah. All right. We'll see how that
plays out.
Yeah. I feel it can go either way, but I kind of felt like I think we should probably go along with the space Nazis or fancy Nazis.
And kill them.
No one likes... Well, we did kill a lot of them. A lot.
Oh, well, they're all hostile now.
Yeah.
The whole creche is hostile.
So that creche no longer exists.
Yeah. Well, it's still got to have killed everybody yet. We're only halfway through killing them all.
Oh, get more XP.
Yeah.
Clear the
scourge. And more Githyanki swords and Githyanki crossbows, which are useless.
Well, not when they're blue.
No, okay.
That's the one I've got at the moment, is a Kentucky Greatsword, the blue one. Yeah, I had a green axe, and last session I got the green one, and in this session I got the blue one.
Okay.
Oh, that's what I found. I found I had...
your throwing weapon thing.
Yeah, two of the abilities I have are until long rest, so I can now buff everyone with extra movement speed.
Yeah.
And I've also got a bound weapon, which binds my weapon to my hand, so I can keep throwing it.
Can't be disarmed as well.
Yeah, can't be disarmed. It's doing really handy. It's got disarmed. I was very annoyed. I had forgot to cast it on myself after that long rest. But unfortunately, throwing the weapon is pretty useless.
It's completely lame. Yeah. You got a critical hit with it and did 1 point of damage.
It's like, I know the greatsword is not
a throwing weapon.
It is still a huge hunk of metal and it's hurling through the sky.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
But admittedly, that fight where they made Dino drop his weapon and run away and Josh drop his weapons and run away.
Yeah.
So it was basically just you and me fighting them.
Yeah.
That was handy that you couldn't beat yourself.
Yes, it was very handy. Yeah. That was really good. That was just luck that time.
Yeah.
Failed the next time.
Well, I kept passing with concentration check, which was also just luck. Okay. It kept you hasted.
Need that haste for that extra couple of hits.
Well, when you do action surge, an extra 3 hits.
Yeah. That's another one. Action surge, great. You get to, like, have your go again once per long rest.
Yeah.
And so the amount of time I'm like, I probably could have used that.
Yeah, but I was saving because you get to a top of 5.
And then as soon as that happens, right, the very first thing.
We need to rest. Yeah. I cast my spells, we need to rest.
Need to rest. I'm like, man, I could have, like, I could have used that, finished that off. That would have been a need to fight. But, maybe that's also because we're playing not as one person as a control company. I'm not asking, hey Dino, do you think you're gonna need a long rest after this fight? Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'll use all my abilities.
Maybe that's what we need to say is like if anyone thinks that this is gonna be the last fight for them, say so everyone can just go all out and cry and just go crazy because we're gonna get a reset anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need to do to make that a bit better. Yeah. I'm still having fun with Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I was super annoyed when the Githyanki completely ignored you, completely ignored Dino, and ran up to stand in my face. I was on full hit points, so I risked the opportunity attack, and of course he hit me.
Yeah.
And I ran to the other side of the room to cast my spell, And then he gets his turn, and he one star and thinks that's pretty weird and kills me. So I'm full health to dead in two actions.
Yeah.
That really annoyed me.
Not a lot we can do about that either. Because there's no tanking or threat or anything. Yeah,
nothing like that, no.
Because Dino is so tanky, he takes a punch.
Yes.
You know, with that shield, and then he can heal himself effectively as well. Yeah. Kind of, he had like an aggro thing. There's no threat, though. No.
Yeah, well, there seems to be a threat because they always run to attack the spellcaster.
Yeah.
So if Dino's casting spells, they're running to attack him. If I'm casting spells, they're running to attack me. So they're built in some threat intelligence.
But there's no, like...
But they basically ignore you. They'll ignore you. Yeah. They'll run straight past you to get to the spellcaster behind you.
Yeah. Which shouldn't... I mean, I guess I got reactions and stuff if they run past me, but they got
to... But I mean, you can't stop them. You have to kill them.
Yeah.
And you can only do that to the first one.
Yeah.
And we're outnumbered so often.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never an even fight.
No.
No.
It's still fun. It's good. I just... Super myth of the magic items. I should have a magic staff that's casting three spells by now.
We should be buying... I mean, we have killed all the vendors, but we haven't seen anything any of the vendors we've seen out before we've murdered them. Like, I haven't seen anything like... Nothing that we sort of gone, oh, that would be great to save up money and then come back for. We're swimming in gold.
Yeah.
You know, but, maybe we'll find something in the next
thing. When we find a vendor, we buy all of their magic items that we want anyway, and we still have change left.
Mm. Yeah. And so, I don't know. Yeah. Games need to sort this out. There needs to be better ways of doing it.
Yes.
I'm getting old, Tony. I played a lot of games. I'm tired of this stuff. I need to hear for the young people.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, what games like this need is they need a hub where you've got traders, vendors, and you go and say, this is what I want you to build for me. And you pay them the money and they build that for you, and it's a certain amount of time.
Oh my God.
You go back and collect it.
That'd be so great, wouldn't it? Maybe then you're like, go collect some bits and pieces from them or something. Yeah. You know, maybe the thing to bring, like, oh, you want that? Well, I need like a phoenix.
Yeah, I need a phoenix feather and a displacer beast kind.
Yeah, you know.
And you can find a phoenix here and a displacer beast here.
Yeah, maybe you find it over there. Like, a hub is really smart. Like, you can go back to the camp, right? Why aren't there vendors at our camp?
Yeah.
Like, I loved in Dragon Age Origins, when you met the dwarves, they would be vendors in your camp. They would just follow you around and be there, kind of thing. That was really handy. You got withers to do stuff.
Respecking. But who cares about that? I'd rather spend my money on a magic staff that I actually want.
Yeah. Yeah. A path to get what you want. No, RNG is just so lame.
It is terrible.
So keep that to the looter shooters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it belongs.
Yeah.
I want to go to a master. I'm going to a master artificer.
Yeah.
You know, in like Waterdeep.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, it's like The Witcher, where you have to find the master smith and the master sort of weapon smith.
I like that.
But then you could tell them, "This is what I want.
This is what I want. Here's the pattern that I want.
Yeah.
Here's the money.
Yeah.
Go forth and make it."
And then you come back a week later and it's finished
for you. I did like that a lot. The fact that Geralt's not a craftsman, he's never going to be. Why on earth would we ever be one? So let's just.
Yeah.
Have an NPC, I give it a role. I think that's, everyone needs to copy that model.
Yes.
More so, you know. I like the idea too of like, oh, you want this effect? Well, you've got to give me a magic item that I can destroy.
Yeah.
And then I can transfer one of the effects off this item onto the other
thing. I would love that.
You just sort of like really
tailor your items to what you actually want to enjoy your game
more. And it's a single player game, right? If someone wants to min max it, think of the min max anyway. Like, just let's all
the house play out,
please.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Which is the exact same complaint I could take over Starfield.
A game that continually gets in its own way.
So I finished the Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Pirate. Crimson Fleet.
Crimson Dawn is definitely from a different franchise. Yeah. Into something else.
Yeah.
The Crimson Fleet. Yeah, I finished that one. I ended up, surprisingly enough, siding with the UC for that quest chain. I just couldn't. My character being an industrialist, as a like core character thing, was like, I cannot let the pirates like keep affecting trade. Like, you know, you need to have ships. You need to be able to transport goods. Yeah. That's bad for business if there's all these pirates out there. So I was like, oh, my character would actually, although they really don't like the UC, they're kind of like a little bit, you know, but like in this, if I'm gonna pick between pirates and the UC. Kind of feel like the UC, and like to be honest, the pirates were dicks.
Yeah,
they're pirates. That's fine. the UC people were actually kind of reasonable. Like, okay. I actually quite liked the two characters you interacted with there. I'm like, oh, I don't mind. They feel like they're just people out there getting the job done, trying to make safe a bit space, so there was no, like, kind of judgment about my past or anything like that. I wasn't like, you know, they were just like, you know, can you help us? And so I was like, oh, let's go fighting with the UC against the Pirates. So what did you do for that one?
Well, no, that's the one you stopped me. I was in the middle of that question. You said do the story.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm in the middle of this top secret mission that I was supposed to be doing, and I've completely ignored it for weeks. So no one's given me an email on the Pirates saying, how come you haven't checked in like you were supposed to?
No, because...
And the UC is saying, how come you haven't checked in like you're supposed to?
Because space doesn't have email, nor phones, apparently, nor voicemail, nor anything, which is just interesting,
yes.
I think.
Yes, very interesting.
That we were just... Fair enough. Right, okay, so you haven't finished yet. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
I haven't finished the part. No, I know where the part thing's going. It's obviously where it's going.
Yeah. It did... It's not bad. I didn't mind it in the end. But once again, the game just proceeded to show itself being so unaware of what's going on.
Utterly unaware.
So I did that pirate thing, and one of the pirate things you have to do is get the tech that runs Neon's energy grid.
Yeah.
And so I done that. I finished the quest. And then I started to do some other activity quests in my quest log. One of them was talking to Barrett.
Yeah.
So I talked to Barrett like 3 times to discuss all my previous adventures that I just hadn't done.
Yeah.
And eventually he wanted to get his own power from one of the vaults. And so I took him to do that. And then he kind of just hung around. I didn't dismiss him. I kind of forgot.
Okay.
And so we're walking through Neon on a different quest. And Barrett starts giving me a lecture about the energy grid. And I'm like, dude, I robbed this place. I know exactly how that thing works. I know more about it than what you do, I think.
It's like when they want to jump in the middle of a gunfight.
Oh, no. Yeah, that... While I was
talking about time, I'd love to chat. We're in the middle of a gunfight, dude.
Come on. I was talking to Barrett in the house, the Constellation.
Yeah.
And...
The Lodge.
The Lodge. And Alexandria... I can't remember her name. I always... every time.
It's got a J in it.
Yeah.
J and E and a D. Andreja.
You could see her in the background come up and start talking at me.
Yeah.
Or doing something, I'm like, okay, first of all, can you not see we're in a conversation?
Yeah.
Number two, how about the game, like,
so many things.
The only good thing about it was that I could just see her lips moving, but nothing was coming out, so I didn't, like, interrupt.
I'm interrupting, so you can't hear this garbled because there's two people talking at the same time.
Well, this was, like, in the conversation. In the
conversation, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, man.
No, I haven't had it happen. I haven't had a garbled in the conversation.
No, when they're, like...
Yeah.
Out in the world, definitely. Yes. Kind of thing. Yeah.
Talk over top of each other. Yeah.
I'm like, just another immersion breaking thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you have no
awareness of that what I've done.
No.
It's like one of the first things you do when Barrett goes to Neon is tell you about
the blood. I agree,
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I had some interesting experiences with Starfield.
Go on.
So, remember in Mass Effect, when you went to the hostile planets and you had that hazard thing, Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect Andromeda, maybe, there was a hazard thing, and as your hazard thing went out, you needed to recharge it or you would die.
Yeah, what was that?
That was Andromeda, I think.
And Sam would go...
I realized that Starfield actually has the same mechanic.
Huh.
But you completely, utterly ignore it because it makes absolutely no difference. So the reason I discovered that it has it, because I was on a hostile planet.
Okay.
And I went into the water.
Oh, yeah.
And my shoot position went zoop to zero, and then my health went zoop to zero.
Oh, okay. Because
the water was a super hostile environment.
Right.
And then I worked out, this is what all the protections are stuff for. But it's so pointless. And then I realized that all those effects that happen to you, that they've got all these healing things for, you don't give a crap about them either because they don't affect your gameplay.
No.
So that whole part of the game could have been removed completely and had no impact on the gameplay.
Okay. I saw someone talk about this, and now you've reminded me, and it makes a lot more sense, is that this game was supposed to be more hardcore.
Yeah.
And they turned it all back around. They got, like, you have, like, when you jump, you've got, like, fuel.
Yes.
They removed fuel. So fuel was a thing. You used to have, like, have fuel in the roof.
Oh, yeah, you shit. Do too, don't you?
But
yeah.
You don't anymore. It's there and it talks about it, but, like the protection regenning that pops up in the thing, but you're like, oh, I didn't... Where's the gauge for that? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they removed it, but it's still there.
Still there.
So the game, it would seem, was supposed to be more like an Elite Dangerous,
right?
A lot more survival focused.
Yeah.
And they just
took everything
ripped everything out, and that's why there's weird. So the game itself doesn't know what it's supposed to be.
No. And there were other bits. I was flying around.
Yeah.
Doing things, and I found things from quests that I'd already done, like the Scow. For example, the ship where you steal the artifact from.
Oh, yeah.
The Scow is still there, so orbiting that planet in a debris field. Oh. So I went, is this the same ship? And I boarded it, and everyone on the ship was immediately hostile. And I went, yeah, this lad is exactly the same. And it's the same people that I'm fighting. The Scow just sits there after you finish that mission. It still sits there in the middle of a debris field. I found these ruined space stations that I couldn't work out what they were about, and I couldn't dock with them.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there, and you can't hail it. You just get radio silence when you hail it.
Yeah, right.
So why is it there? If you can't dock with it, what's the point of it? And maybe it's for a specific mission.
Maybe
you got to back to it. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't find the ECS constant anymore. You're supposed to be able to go and catch up with the ship.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that's around Paradiso. Yes. From Earth. You're supposed to be able to catch up with it. Mine always tells me to go back to Paradiso. I can't find them. So it's sort of a bit weird. So there's like you're supposed to go to it and catch up with them and wrap that quest up. So I can't because it just takes me back to the same place every time.
Yeah.
And I'm actually bugged.
Yeah. And I had, you jump into a warp into a system and there's a fight going on, and that's all random because when you die and you reload, it's completely different. So I died and reloaded it. And now Samco's ex-wife was doing a fight.
Oh.
And I got this whole interaction with her, which was really cool, that I would have missed if I hadn't done it the first time.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. That was good. So there's the biggest problem with this game is there's enough to like about it that makes you forgive all the stuff you hate about it.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really hated, really, really, really hated, and this is the game getting in its own way, is the Unity Quest.
Unity Quest.
Yes. Yeah. You've got to find the journals of the dude, and you go to the wreck planet, and there's his habitat, and you find his books, and then you've got to go to another planet. So this is where it becomes a press X game. You've got to go from this planet to another planet to find the tail of the scorpion, and that is literally walking from your ship 10 meters to a control panel and moving a beam of light at the end of the Scorpio, and then it gives you a new quest, and you literally open up your Google X and teleport to another planet. What was the point of that? I was on this planet for, like, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
What was the point? And then I got to where it is, and it's the meeting with the emissary and the hunter.
Yes. Okay. So it did sound familiar, but yes. So you've now met both.
I met the emissary and the hunter, and oh my God, was that absolutely immersion breaking or what? That was appalling.
So this is the part that I wanted, when I mentioned going back on the cruise plate, that's the part that I just done. So you went through NASA as well, I think, as part of that?
No, you've got to go to NASA next. I'm stuck in NASA.
Right, so I beat NASA, and then I came back out. There's another conversation, I guess, with them as well, kind of thing. Yep, right, okay. So you were very close to catching up to the same point in the main story then. Yeah, so what was immersion breaking about that first conversation? So
the first thing that absolutely destroyed my immersion was that they chucked this face. The helmet clears up.
Yeah.
And they put this face that clearly does not fit the body shape of the person that is, who you know from the game.
Yeah.
In the suit.
It looks weird, too. It looks like, you know what it reminds me of? When the Apple Vision Pro ads, where they, like, put the fake eyes on you so you can have eyes. It feels like that because the projection of the face is, like,
it's on too the far mask.
Back.
Yeah.
And it looks really, it's not making the thing opaque, it's just projecting your face on that. So you don't really know who's in that suit either. Like, is that really?
No, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but like, you don't know because it's just a projection, and they're not the helmet off.
But it is supposed to be that person.
Yeah, I get the, like.
I get what you're saying, that's what I thought at first.
Yeah, but it is.
But then you listen to the dialogue, and it is literally supposed to be that person.
Yeah.
But it's clearly not that person because their body shape is all wrong.
Yeah.
And the visor doesn't go opaque. There's this holographic projection.
I was very confused about the whole thing.
So that was one, the emissary, and then the hunter. I don't care about the person who was the hunter. I've had no interaction with this person whatsoever.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with what they're saying, but I've got no investment in this person and I hate what they did.
Yeah.
So what should have been a super impactful moment in the game just became so janky and awkward and immersion breaking for me. I was really disappointed.
Yeah. And I find the whole premise of the whole story a bit silly.
Oh, it's utterly ridiculous.
Like, it doesn't explain, I mean, maybe there's more to come in later on in the story, but like, there's so many inconsistencies and things that don't make any sense.
Yes.
Based on what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's just like, so we'll put a pin in that. We'll come back a little bit later and we'll put a bit more into it. But we're on a similar track with that.
I got stuck on the NASA thing.
Yeah.
Because I've got to get upstairs and I can't work out how to get upstairs.
Yeah.
So I thought, don't tell me you have to have a boost pack. So I saved the game, put my spare level into boost pack, and found out the boost packs are utterly useless.
Yeah, not really.
Why would you ever put any skills into accessing the boost pack? It lets you jump like half as high as you would normally just be able to jump.
On the low grav worlds,
Earth is grav.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's not very good. The low grav worlds, you can like coast in the air.
Right.
And then if you jump down something high, obviously you can boost at the last second and then, land safely.
Yeah.
To your point though, yeah. They're not like the, if you compare it to No Man's Sky, which has an actual jet pack.
Yeah.
That is useful, like, to navigate the environment, you know, it's sort of like, this is a bit.
It's a massive afterthought. It feels like a massive afterthought.
Well, unless you dump probably like four points into it. Boost it. Yeah. And then also then mod a boost pack and make it. Then it might be useful.
Yeah. No.
Yes, but, so do you have to boost up? Is that what you have to do?
I don't know. I don't have to. That's what I'm stuck at.
I don't know. I don't think so because it's so useless at being able to do it. I don't think they would.
I could not. So there's a hole. So you climb on some crates and there's a hole in the floor.
Yeah.
And you can't jump high enough to grab it and pull yourself up.
Oh, maybe you didn't.
So I thought, okay, you boost up. But no, my boost pack is cut out before I'm anywhere near the level.
Yeah.
So
right.
I gave up on that because it was time to go to bed. So I just gave up on it after. And I don't want to waste the point of the boost pack anyway. So.
No, there must be another way.
I'm sure there's another. Well, you've done it. So,
I had a boost pack though, so maybe I.
Oh, you did do. You
haven't. I've had a unique boost pack, because I didn't really think about not having it, I suppose. Right. I just kind of dumped a point. Maybe I got the point automatic.
No, you don't get the point
automatic. Like, not with any cloth.
No, I'm an industrialist as well.
Must have put one point into it. I thought it'd be good, and then I kind of kept it. And I kind of like. I like being able to. That you can, for example, I got. So, one of the quests is to get a 21 light year ship.
Yeah.
And so I went and bought a class B ship.
Yeah.
The Shieldbreaker.
Yeah.
Fantastic ship. Everything's on one level. You mount it, you go into the ship.
Okay.
And it's just like.
Yeah. Then now they're going up ladders. Crap.
I mistakenly thought that you had to get a 61 light year ship for some reason. Not that any ships are 61 light year. So I got, eventually just got to the next level of piloting, got the Class C piloting, bought the best game in the ship that I could find online, the Narwhal, which has, like, everything. To get to the cockpit in that, you've got to go up 3 floors.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, this is just not happening. But the boost pack is good because you can boost and jump.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't, the ladders are so clunky.
Yeah.
The thought of having to go up 3 floors, I'm like, is this ship worth it? Maybe I should go back to the Shieldbreaker and just use that because it's just a one level. That was because when you come in kind of under the ship, but then you go up. Is like you can just like click on it and go in, and you're in the ship. Then it's just one long tube. Yeah. I'm like, it's pretty great. Shieldbreaker, I'm like giving it a tick. But yeah, the boost pack is great for going up floors and ships. Okay. That's my point of that digression. Yeah. Yeah, so now I've got this Narwhal that I may or may not use. I'll see how the... I might go back to the Shieldbreaker, because the more artifacts you collect, the more stuff you got to fight with the Guardian.
Yeah.
And so one of the reasons I also want to upgrade was because I finished that Crimson Dawn quest, but that...
Crimson Fleet.
Crimson Fleet quest. That last fight was so hard.
Oh, okay.
So you had to like, destroy three things.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing it in the Wonderworld then.
No. Bring guns.
I don't have guns. I have no ship for guns.
Go buy yourself the Shieldbreaker. It's only like 300,000 credits or whatever. It'll do you better.
I'm just going to segue here. I'll sell all my contraband that I've got so I can afford it.
350.
Oh my God. what is the point of contraband?
It's a lot of hassle to go through for not that many credits.
Yeah.
I agree on that. And so I went through this one. So I did the three things. You got to, like, do three things. That was all fine. Got to the final battle.
Yeah.
And you got to, like, last long enough for the Vigilants to turn up.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah. You know, they've gone off to take the Vigilants out, you know, because it's all, like, they know the enemy is coming in.
Yeah.
And so the fight was so hard because you have, like, it's because the other says, oh, kill the traitor because you're not happy with it. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
When you got four ships coming after you.
Yeah, no. I couldn't survive against three Starborn.
So as soon as I got in, what I had to do was immediately turn around and run.
Yeah.
Get right out. And then, from a distance, slowly creep in.
Yeah.
And then just pick one off. And one off, and one off. And then eventually I managed to save it, and I had most of them gone. But I saved it kind of at a point where two of them had finally broken off.
Yeah.
So I had to dogfight two. It took me like four goes to get the right sort of like combination of stuff. But I was stuck, like, because of the way the saving works.
Yeah.
I couldn't go back. Couldn't
go back because your autosave is now completely destroyed.
Yeah. I would have to go back like a long way. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to do this again and again and again.
Yeah.
Your technique of trying to get behind them did help with this scenario because I couldn't take the punishment by just sitting like my previous one. So I was able to, like, because I kind of knew which vector they were coming in on.
Yeah.
I was able to, like, as soon as that loaded, immediately go into the vector that was bringing it around behind one of them, got one down. Then it was a close one thing, but I managed to get them down. I also finally worked out that, like, I've got on the controller. Razor Crest? No, that's from Star Wars.
No, yeah.
No, it's not called the Razor Crest.
The Razor Leaf.
Razor Leaf. These other properties. It's got two sets of guns on it and left and right trigger.
Yeah.
I find it best to sort of fire one down and then fire the other one down with the other one recharged. And then I got a much higher DPS going on both of them by having them just do that all the time because they fire really fast.
Yeah.
So having one fire, then one fire was like way more effective. And then if I got a lock on, missiles, you know, that was good as well. But that switching off, I think finally was enough to get me.
Yeah.
And then I was like immediately, okay, I need to get better shit because I'm getting like that, which would be much easier with something that was a bit better.
Yeah.
And so the shield breaker has an auto turret, which is nice. Yeah. So then you sort of have one less thing to worry about.
Yeah. And you can actually probably spend some time moving your energy around properly.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, that's a great mechanic, but there's no way you can do it in the middle of a dogfight.
Why don't I have profiles?
Yeah.
Like, why don't I have loadout profiles? Crew. Yeah.
Why doesn't your crew do it? Sam, you look after the engines. Barrett, you look after the shields. I'll do the guns.
Yeah.
And then,
again.
Like, he says, oh, the drive's down. I'll drive back up again. But he doesn't put any energy back into the drive. No. He just turns it back up again.
Yeah, that'd be great if having crew meant that it repaired faster or
they was actually more strong. Did stuff.
Like,
yeah.
It'd be awesome if that was the case. And again, when I finished that Crimson Dawn, Crimson Fleet fight, I had like 30 whatever ships to like go and loot.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, oh, I would love it if I could just call in someone in
loot it all, ship, loot all these ships.
Take it back, you know, like that'd be great. I've got a crew. I have so many people I can hire and create a little company and then doing the other company.
The game is a mile wide and an inch deep.
Ah, yeah.
Which is disappointing.
It is, because like when it comes, we sort of step back for a second and go, well, what did I do next? After that Crimson Fleet thing, I went and just did all the little quests that are in my log.
Yeah.
And I had quite a good time. I quite liked
it. I know. That's why I was so disappointed with the Emissary Under meeting.
You know?
Because I was getting invested in what was going on. I was actually going up levels.
I was more interested in the lady who took a job at New Homestead on Titan.
Okay.
Because she went there as a kid. She's New Land born bred. Yeah. Went there as a kid, got fascinated with the idea of a living museum, eventually got a job there as like one of the maintenance people, and then had a lot of trouble fitting in, so she changed her name to Osaka, which is the city that her family is from. That's a tradition that they do there. And I was like, the quest itself was pretty lame. You know, I go kill a bunch and take a bunch of ice off, and then I helped you out. But all that story and history that they put in there was very interesting. Yeah. And like, they're like, oh, my parents were a bit not happy with me doing it, but I'm happy because I really love this place. I think it's really great, you know. And so working with passionate people, I mean, I know they're all fake and stuff, but like someone who's like passionate was like, that's interesting. You know, it's different. It's more interesting than whatever the main story quest is.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's not,
in the same place, there's the doctor who's sick of all the tourists hurting themselves all the time. So you wear a monster suit and go scare a bunch of tourists. You know, if you do it enough, then the dentist will give you the suit.
Yeah.
Like, this is never going to, like, work. This will create more work for you because now it'll be the monster and have people come in to find the monster to get scared. Like, that's going to create a whole new tourist industry. But
and have you done the Barrett side quest?
Only the one where you get his power.
No, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
Right.
Done one. The one where you clear his old husband's name.
Oh, I'm still working on that.
Really good.
He just got... Oh, yes, what happened?
Sarah's story is really good. Sam's story is okay. Barrett's story is really good.
I think we just got some evidence that Hephaestus paid off some people, but it wasn't quite enough, so he gave some money to someone else to get more.
You haven't gone to Gagarin yet. It gets really interesting when you get to Gagarin.
I am interested. That's a good shout, because I am interested in that story as well.
Good.
And it's even, actually, it comes really good timing, because Barrett's, the power you get when you do Barrett's quest, because you get it and he get it too, is to call somebody from a parallel universe.
Oh, right.
And they come fight you for, like,
however long, right? That's what I'm doing to me when I was fighting the lodge.
Yes, you get that power.
Yeah.
And you have a good conversation with Barrett and his alternate self and what happened in his reality versus your reality, which was kind of fun in the context of this other quest we're doing as well, kind of thing. I'm like, this is
maybe
really...
I've got to put Barrett back in my party then.
Yeah, I don't know when that pops up as an option to go and do that kind of thing, that particular
thing. It considers me an ally, so it's obviously not.
It might be story-based progression.
Story-based.
And I just haven't been talking to them, so I didn't pick it up, so I can't say. But yeah, that's, again, really interesting. Just going through and doing all that, go talk to whomever and see if you can help them.
Yeah.
I went and helped
some... And it's like a little detective story, and it's quite good. It's that environmental-based storytelling.
Yeah.
Do well.
I did a whole chain. Help again on Cydonia and Mars.
Mars, yeah.
I had to help the miners. They're not getting the right equipment.
Yeah.
Like, why are the miners producing the steel for Deimos Industries, who provide the UC Navy, having trouble getting equipment?
It's great.
Right? So the guy hacks as a plan. He's like, okay, you need to go and become the assistant to my boss, and the approval for my request is on his computer. Right? So you've got to go, like, hack the computer, you know, get your own application there, get hired. Then he wants you to go and get some cargo that he hasn't paid taxes on, you know. And so you go help the mayor, but the mayor needs help because he's got a little thing he needs, a little bit of side, hiding away kind of thing. That was a little interesting diversion and some choices to make about how you handled that. Then you go back and you find out that the guy is not doing his job.
Yep.
Is the son of the owner of the company, and he's just doing nothing, absolutely nothing. It's so bad. Anyway, you approve your request and you get all the things, and then the person, one of the miners, decides to steal the equipment because he doesn't like being there. And he's taping his contract, so then you've got to convince him to get the gear. So it's like there's one little thing of just getting the miners some new equipment. All these other little side quests, but they're all like individually really cool, neat little stories. I'm like, I really enjoyed that. I'm like, as soon as I get on any of the bigger stuff, I get bogged down. But there's little tiny little slice of life. I love the tour you can do at New Homestead where they take you through and show you how everyone lives, and you get to like, it's a classic tourist trap tour.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is throughout the whole thing. It's great, you know. So many good little quests. It's just so thinly spread.
Yes. And they introduced a great new bug on the Xbox with the last update. So if I'm in a fight and I die and I reload, I'm not sure how many, it might be three times or it might be two times, suddenly the sound breaks and everything sounds like you're underwater.
Oh, really?
And that persists through your save game and everything.
Oh.
You have to exit the whole game. Go back to the main menu, exit the whole game, quit the game out because Xbox gets the game running in the background.
Yep.
Quit the whole game out, start again, and load a previous save, and then the sound's working.
Oh, and load a previous save. Yeah. Oh, so it balks your save.
I don't know. That's how I fixed it. It's happened twice.
Okay.
And that's how I fixed it. I left it once, and I was playing the game for maybe 15, 20 minutes with this sound messed up.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have a conversation with someone, you can't hear a word they're saying. You have to use the subtitles, and I thought, no, this is crap.
Yeah.
So that was a nice bug that didn't exist before, the last update. And
classic.
I was on a planet, an eclectic ship landed.
Mm-hmm.
I killed all the eclectic outside. I got into the ship, was taking over the ship, killed everybody, jumped in the pilot seat, found out that while I was fighting them, they actually left the planet and I was in space.
Oh, whoops. So
they've left the planet with me on board.
Oh.
I've killed them all, I've taken over the ship, but I'm in space. So I land back on the planet. This is just about when I have to go to bed again.
Yeah.
Land back on the planet, and I'm literally facing the Wonderworld, which is my home ship.
Oh, yeah.
And I saved the game.
Yeah.
So my new ship docked here. The Wonderworld, which is my home ship, is here.
Yeah.
Saved the game. Load the game back in again. The Wonderworld disappeared, and now the ship I was on had to place where the Wonderworld was, and the Wonderworld is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, because it's not only your home ship, so it went to where...
And it was my home ship.
Yeah, but as soon as you took on the other ship, it became your home ship.
No, I checked that. I mean, before I saved it, I made sure the Wonderworld was still my home ship. Oh. It was still my home ship. But you're right. The game made the eclectic ship my home ship, which, of course, a quarter of the cargo space. So now all the cargo's gone into my inventory.
Oh, no.
So I can't move. I'm, like, loaded down with... And so I had to go all the way back to a space dock. There's no way for me to make the Wonderworld my home ship again until I got back to a space dock.
Oh, my God.
So I had to go through everything. I couldn't fast travel.
That is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, really, that is just...
It didn't save the world state. I mean, even if it had just saved the world state, I would have been happy.
Yeah.
The two ships sitting there looking at each other.
Yeah.
I can choose which one I want to board and fly off in.
Yeah.
That was, that was
bad. No.
When there's such a big discrepancy between cargoes and the ships and stuff.
I mean, just leave the cargo in the ship. Like, I don't know what, like, the whole like, thing about, like, your ships kind of just go into nothingness.
Yeah.
It's so silly. Like, have outposts. Like, make me build a, like, with GTA 5, you've got to put your car in a garage. You cannot have a car unless you have space in a garage somewhere to put it. And when it, like, you know, magically disappears, okay, whatever, it's back in the garage because that's the space it lives.
Yeah. So, yeah, we should have a hangar or something where our ships go.
Do they not have a space? Like, planets are everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Does someone not run a space that just is a yard space for space? Like, a space parking lot. Like, long-term spaceship parking.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the fact that we have multiple starships is kind of a bit weird anyway. Kind of thing. But, I don't know. I find just the whole thing ridiculous. Okay, one more complaint before we move on.
I know, I got one more thing to say.
Okay. I was trying to... When I was trying to buy the Narwhal... Right?
Yes. The best ship in the game.
Supposedly. Well, they had a few. They had a few different... It's not the best freight ship in the game.
Okay.
But it's the best kind of like... You've got a good weapon. It's got a pretty good hull. And that's what I wanted to take to end up like a bit of
those. All round.
I was like, oh, okay. I want to buy this. I've got a million credits. I presume I've got enough. But where's the price? I'm like, that's my credits. That's the vendor's credits. Yeah. There's this value in the bottom left, which... It's only 4,000, which is not enough for a ship. I'm like, look. And now it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking for the price. I want to buy this. Where is the price? I cannot see it. There's no price. You only get a price when you go, yes, I want to purchase it. Yeah. And then you see the price.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that some dark pattern like bullshit? I'm sorry. If I'm making a storefront and I don't put the price until you click the buy button, people probably aren't going to buy it.
No. They're not. They're going to leave your store straight away.
When you go to the car lot, what do they have on the windshield? The
price.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know?
So you know what you're up for.
Yeah. Why is there no price? Is there a weird value number and no price?
The ship thing's crazy.
Every time. It gets in the way. It gets in the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was your plan for you?
So I found an activity in my quest log.
Yeah.
To go and collect my new ship from the Stratocon ship warehouse. Remember how I talked about this a couple episodes ago?
Yes.
So, I'm going to mark this activity. I've already got it in my list of ships. I've already got the Kepler
X. Yeah, because you had it.
Yeah, I've already got it in my list of ships. So I mark it as my active quest, and I fly to the Stratocon shipyards, and the ship marker immediately goes back to the docking clamp.
Yeah.
So I go, I wander around a bit, talk to a few people. No, okay, go back to board my ship again. It's the Kepler S. So the Wonderworld has turned into the Kepler S while it's been docked at Charles Eklund, which I can't pilot.
Because it's a Class B ship. I did it to you.
So I spent 15 minutes trying to work out how to get it back to being the Wonderworld.
Why?
Do you know how you do it?
How?
You go to the ship vendor. You tell them you want to modify your ships.
And then
you modify the ship. Then you back out. And then you can make it your home ship again.
Once again, GTA had the perfect solution for this. you pick up your phone and you say, hey, mechanic, can you please bring my car to me? Yes. And he brings it to you.
How did they not think that at the docking port, even a control pad that you press and say, this is a ship that I want to get on? I mean, I don't care if it's completely immersion breaking.
I mean, it is. Because, like, again, but again, right, we hire people. There's a whole mechanic about hiring people. You build an outpost, you build a shipyard, and you staff it with someone who can fly ships for you, and they bring it to you.
But I landed in Sprouse Effort in the Wonderworld.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
And then it suddenly became the capital S instantly.
That's weird.
Because that was a quest, was to go and pick up my ship. So it instantly became the capital S.
Right.
I had no other way of getting this chat second other than flying there.
So lucky that I think I came on a different angle to you, and I could see the icon was on the capital S ship that's docked, and I docked with the Kepler and went in that way, realized I couldn't, and then I undocked and flew up again.
No, I was,
but because you went into the space station. Yeah.
I went into the shipyard.
Yeah.
It took me 15 minutes to go. I hadn't saved for ages.
Am I stuck here?
Have I just bought everything? But no, I tried everything through, and eventually I went in. I want to modify my ships.
Yeah.
Make my home ship. Nope, that didn't work. Okay, let me try modifying the ship, backing out, and then making my own ship. Yes, that worked. So modifying the ship obviously did whatever the game needed
to
disconnect the Kepler S from being my own ship. It's a game that keeps on giving.
Oh, it does. It really does. Yeah. You can just see the spaghetti that went into making this.
I want to play it. It's engaging enough that I actually want to play it.
Yeah, look, as I said, like, I'm happy that I got a cool gun now. I love the calibrated
rifle. I've got all the guns, I've got all the space suits, I've got half the chems. They are a waste of points.
Oh, yeah.
I've got the space suit thing to immediately use as med packs when you get low on health.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, really?
No, it doesn't work. Unless I'm not noticing it and I'm getting low on health. Twice in a very short
time. Usually it's only every 30 seconds, I think is how that one works.
But I haven't even noticed it injecting me with a med pack if it does work. But then several times I've died without realizing I'm about to die. So it's definitely not noticeable. If it is working, it's definitely not noticeable. So I've just gone back to the one that boosts the health you get back from using a med pack. But yeah, the investment into all those skill ranks. And level 4, like I'm 90% of the way through the game, whatever it is. Level 4 is sometimes when you build a mod, you get credited back your resources. Well, I'm never going to invest in that.
Yeah.
Why am I ever going to invest in that? Because I'm so close to the end of the game. I've got millions of resources.
Yeah.
It's only the exotic structural components that I can't make.
Right.
Because I haven't invested in that skill tree. They're the only resources I care about.
Yeah.
I've got 1 million platinum. I've got 2 million gold. I've got 6 million silver. I've got so many resources. I don't care about getting refunded.
The skill tree. I remember going there, I get annoyed with you know. And now
I have done piloting because you told me about that, so I'll preemptively.
Well, you need at least a class B ship to get 21 light in your ship, so you definitely need at least class B. You don't go to me, you go to class C.
I've already ranked 2 in piloting, I just need to kill 15 ships
and get the rank
3. And I've got the skill point ready to go.
Yeah.
I just need to kill the 15 ships.
See, I've got skill point indecision now.
Yes. Yes, because you can't refund it.
So I'm like,
I really don't know if you want to invest in another one. So you sit around the skill points
again. That's exactly what I got. And I'm like, oh, this is really
disappointing. And that's bad game design when you do that. Yeah. You should never hoard skill points. Yeah. Anyway, enough Starfield bashing. What else have you been playing?
Valheim. Yeah, it's been young. I've been doing a replay through of Valheim. And wait, that game is super fun. I do enjoy it a lot, but it is so grindy. Immensely grindy. And I knew it was grindy, but with 2 people, when you need to get twice as much resources for all the bits and pieces that you need, it's...
More than twice as much grindy?
It's the point where you press F5, you type in spawn iron 50, boom, problem solved. Thank you.
Okay.
What broke me was I tried to build a little platform to build a lot of portals on, like a pavilion.
Yeah.
Not overly large, like by the standards of other games where I build a bunch of foundations, not a big one.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm not going to get the stone, right? I'm just not. So I spawned 50 stone in. I'm like, okay, build. Oh, I'm out. 50 stone. Build, out. What? That was like 4 bricks to 50 stone. That would have been like, what I just spawned in would have been like 30 minutes of work maybe even 10 minutes more. Yeah, by the time though you think about I didn't get stone. I had to go from where I am to the stone, break it down, load it into a cart, bring it back. It may not be so much of an exaggeration. And when you consider that, like, I at one point I was like, I'm just spawning stone here and here and here and here, like, all over the ground. Yeah. So as I went through, I was picking up more stone, building it out, and I got bored of spawning in stone. I'm like, this is just dumb. This is a dumb... If you want to make anything significant... So now I'm like, oh...
Value is too low.
F5, no cost, enter. Everything's free. You just build what you want. I'm like, oh, I'm just... And I built the whole pavilion just for free. I'm like, this is so much easier than trying to spawn it in or anything. But then, I was like, oh, we went through so much effort to get this silver back, to get just the basics, to upgrade any of it. It's just never, ever going to happen. So I'm like, we'll get one load of the new ore to do it, and that's it. Then I'm just spawning in the rest. Everything else will collect a la natural, because you can kind of get enough of that for everything else.
Yeah.
But ingots and trying to deal with like that much mining, it's just boring. You know, it's a single player game. If you were doing like as a solo player, you could kind of do it yourself and get enough, but to try enough for two or more people. And now I understand why it was so hard when I first played it. There was four of us playing.
Right,
we were just drinking
resources
like just like it was just going out of fashion because each of us really need to go collect our own.
Yeah,
which kind of negates the point of a co-op.
Yeah,
completely game, negates you know, it. Kind of thing. It's just, so we just want to keep moving and beat it. You know, still got to, like, trek through. We're on, like, the fourth mountain now to try to find the boss spawn point so we can go and kill the boss over there kind of thing. But, like, okay, that's fine. That's part of the game is exploring and finding stuff and whatnot. But, just the
grinding, mining.
Yeah, well, when you think about, like, silver, right, or any of the metals, you have to go and collect it. So whether it's crypts... Right? And it's a weird problem with the game, right? So, like, when you do swamps, the swamp is very watery.
Yes.
Swamp. So, if you want to bring a lot of iron out, right, you need to use a cart.
Yeah.
So, you put, like, four or five stacks of iron. So, you go through, you mark out all the crypts, you know, so you know where they are. And then you go through, mine, and I leave the ore outside the crypts.
Yeah.
Right, because you can't teleport back with it. It can take you multiple days, game days to do this, right? Mine. I've now got like six crypts. I've got probably like 12 stacks of iron.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now I need to get not only the iron across all of them, like all together in one point into the cart. So you start like flattening out the ground, making roads, making paths so you can drag your cart around. Drag it out to sea so you can load it up on the boat and go home and then sail all the way back home through, you know, all that, right? You never go back. So you spend all the time making roads and flattening it out. You're
never going to use.
And so you're sort of like, well, do I bother doing that or do I just shortcut it, you know, kind of thing? And so, like, there's no, like, because it doesn't renew.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you kind of, like, a lot of these sort of games, if they sort of move you on to a new thing, or they offer you some sort of automation.
Yeah.
There's no automation. Yeah, it's super manual.
Yeah.
So there's none of that. Okay, that's fine. But like iron is used for everything.
Right.
All the time. For everything. And it's like, you want me to go back and break into another six crypts and do all that again?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. Very interesting. Like I don't know. I mean, it's only like early access. Maybe this will
improve.
It change over time kind of thing. But it's very, I would say, it's very anti-co-op.
Right.
In that point, because like feeding two people is hard. Like you need to make a lot of food. It's a bit easier now that we have some renewable resources of food. Like we've got a boar farm and we have a carrot farm and stuff. So you can make a decent amount of food. But at the start, they're trying to feed two of us was not easy either. Kind of thing. It's like it's very tuned for a solo experience.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that's what they've kind of said. You know. One person needs to get this many stacks of iron.
Yeah.
That's one load of crypt. That's all I did in my last game, where they did like the seven or eight set of crypts. That was enough to build me out, and I need a couple more for the extra that you need to build decorations and all that kind of stuff. But when you need two people's worth,
twice as much.
Oh, twice, yeah. Twice as much stuff for every old. Anyway, that was just the thing. I was like, I really enjoyed the game. I think it's really fun. But like
way too grindy.
Way too grindy. So if you, And it's not, I'm not alone. Looking at subreddit, a lot of people are like, I just build with no cost.
Yeah.
Because I want to build something fun and enjoy myself. I don't want to spend 30 hours mining stone.
Yeah. That's not fun. I'm not playing that game.
No, not at all.
Stone miner.
Yeah, that's effectively what it is. Viking stone miner. Go to the plains, find the big nodules and take one of those out. But it's not going to give you enough for what you need to build, like a castle.
Yeah.
Like, no. Anyway, looking forward to finishing that. Not looking forward to finishing, I suppose, but looking forward to doing more, progressing through that now that we have an easier path to go through. I find it in mind on the crypt. It'll be too soon. There's so many of them. We did do two swamp biomes,
right,
worth the crypts, to get enough iron. That's when then we did silver, and silver's worse because the mountains are up high and usually in the middle of a landmass.
Yeah.
And it's more dangerous. I'm like, we did it once. We did the full load.
Go kill it on the way back.
Oh, well, yeah. Trying to drag carts. It's the same problem. We're in the mountain. We'll bring the boat down to the Black Forest, which is on this side of it, right, which would be really good because it's an easier biome. But trying to drag the carts through the Black Forest is not a fun experience. You've got to build a road. Yeah. But again, I'd happily build a road.
If you were going to use it again.
Never use it again. Yeah. Use it once, and there's no point in ever going back. That's it. We're done. You know, it's like, that's a bit.
That's a waste of resources to build the road.
Waste of time. Waste of my time.
The game doesn't respect your personal time.
I feel that's what it is.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, you know, grinding is not necessarily a problem because the loop of grinding is fun. With a shooter loop, you're grinding gear, you're playing the game, hopefully enjoying playing the game.
Yes.
You know, and you get rewarded on a regular thing. But when that balance goes out.
Yeah, it just feels like work.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't need that. That's why we use console commands. Problem solved.
Yeah.
And no achievements to worry about because it's early access. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, I don't have to worry about that either. yeah. Yeah, we'll see. So, more Starfield. We'll be up. You'll be. Let me know when you finish NASA.
Yeah.
And you do the next bit of the quest.
I'm literally at NASA right now. Trying to get up to the quest mark.
Cool. I'll take a presumption then that you're going to finish that very soon. So I'll continue on with the main story quest as well.
Yeah.
And then we can maybe see if we can knock this one out.
Yeah. It feels like it's wrapping up towards the end.
I feel like there'll be a bunch more. Artifacts to collect to finish
the thing. Armorelry.
Whatever the word is, which is weird that every ship that you have,
imagine now has the armorelry, even though it's specifically said, put it in one ship and then the other would be following you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not the point.
You shouldn't have been able to put it in a ship, you should have to build it out. That would have made a point to the outpost for a start. You had to build an outpost to build it in.
And then defend it.
Yeah.
You know, put guns and stuff on it and walls and things like that. That would actually
make the outpost thing worthwhile.
Yeah.
But no.
Make it worth it on hiring people and building staff. And more World of Fit 3?
Yes.
Maybe some about something else. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what next sport that will build. Until then, thank you very much.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.